The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Welcome in to the Thursday edition of the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. It is Field Mike and Star Fanya hanging out with you, getting you ready for everything as it pertains to the game tonight. Excuse me, Stefania. What was that sigh?
I'm getting zen.
Okay.
Well,
your mic's on, just a heads up.
Thank you.
Stefania's getting zen.
Which I'm just sharing it with you. We can all be in that space.
I feel so relaxed.
Fair enough. We've got a huge game tonight. Huge, monumental AFC South showdown between the Colts and the Texans. The game is being played in Houston. Both teams are 6-4. The Colts won the first matchup back in Indy. Revenge on the mind tonight for the Texans, and we'll get to a full game preview of that. We've got all kinds of wide receiver cornerback matchup stuff. Got some Browns talk because Keith is there. But before we do all that, you're probably wondering, what is this lovely bell that is in my hand right now that I'm ringing?
No one's wondering that.
Well, I went home recently, Daniel, and I opened up the mail. And I had this large box waiting for me, and I'm thinking to myself, what did I order? I don't remember anything. Maybe my wife borrowed my credit card. She's allowed to do that now, right? I can't tell her what she can and can't do. Nope, wasn't that. Instead, I got a box, and it had a little pamphlet of sorts here, just a little tiny card. And it said, can a show ever have enough bells? Hashtag the call of shame at Chuck Laz, L-A-Z. Chuck Lazaro must have sent us this shame bell. More specifically, here you go. This is a little, I don't know if we can get in all the way in there, if I can just remove
for those who watch Game of Thrones, you understand the reference for the shame bell.
And that part is cool, as you can see if you are watching on the live stream. And then how about this? We have our very own
It's engraved.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's engraved.
It is engraved. 06010 call of shame bell right here. And you're wondering to yourself, Waitfield, when did this arrive? Did it arrive yesterday in the mail? No, it did not arrive yesterday in the mail. So why are you busting it out today? Well, that's a very good question that I have an answer to. Those who listen to the podcast daily may remember that around last week, Daniel Dopp pushed his chips into the middle of the table on behalf of Odell Beckham Jr. No, Dan.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
You can keep pushing buttons all show long.
Good to see you guys. That's our show for today.
Great show. Follow at Stefania_ESPN. Here's the thing. Technically we're ringing the shame bell one time in honor of Daniel Dopp.
I know, you put it right by your own ear.
I'm muting this thing a little bit. But Daniel had the call of Odell being a top 12 wide receiver last week.
I did.
How did that work out for you?
However, but I want to take Daniel off the hook because all watched last Thursday night. Not only did we all watch it enthusiastically, Odell Beckham Jr. on one of the Browns' first seven or eight plays catches what looks like a 40-plus yard touchdown.
Yeah.
It elicited so much excitement that within moments we had an email
We had our group text chain.
Daniel nailed it. Daniel is the soothsayer. Daniel is officially on his way to Call of Fame status. It was not ruled a touchdown, which I take to task. But Daniel did wind up, or I should say Odell wound up outside the top 30, which means Daniel gets our first ring of the Call of Shame. Daniel, I actually think that it's like a call of fame to be the first person to get the call of shame.
Yeah,
right?
I like where your head's at, and I think I agree with you because someone's always got to be the first, and I don't mind taking it on the chin for you guys as a group. You know what I mean? But the truth is, after OBJ basically...
I think you do mind because when I was the first to point out that it turned from a call of fame to a call of shame, I got four letters back.
What were they? Put it this way. Not would any of us be allowed to say it because it's a show that's live streamed.
Right.
But me, the non-swearing party, would I be allowed to say it?
No, you would not.
Oh, Daniel, you got spicy on
it. I didn't text it. It was a GIF, and the GIF said it for me, so I'm absolved of all things.
That's a good. Can I swear GIFs or no?
I think that we'll have to.
It's intent, you know, if we're being legal.
Is your heart pure?
It's intent.
My heart is pure.
Okay. If your heart's pure, then you can say what you need to say, Field.
Fair enough. So the Call of Fame call up Shane Bell. I actually kind of wonder if, like, well, Shane Bell makes sense. What do you get if you get me into the Hall of Fame? Do we have some sort of other prop to?
Yeah, you probably get some nice, like you know.
Matthew buys you dinner.
Yeah, you don't have to work on the show that Matthew's on. That's the.
By the way, if you've seen Game of Thrones, that episode, the person who is essentially being put in the Hall of Shame in the show has to walk through the streets naked. Don't take your clothes off, please.
Yeah.
You don't need to walk around the studio.
He already tries to do that on
okay?
the fantasy
yeah.
show.
Just want to be clear about that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You're used to that, so please refrain,
say, Mike,
my friend.
Refrain. Take your shirt off. Like, what, who do you think that is?
There he goes.
Uh-oh. Oh, no, it's happening.
It's happening.
No.
It's really happening right now. He's down to just a T-shirt.
Press the buttons again.
He's down to an Emory T-shirt,
okay,
people.
Time to
Looking
move on.
Nice. Time
move
to
on, move
on. Let's get right to the news then. We have some news on the injury front, and it begins. Tyler Lockett's Stefania, the Seahawks return to practice in advance of their game against the Eagles, and Pete Carroll, ever the optimist, says he does believe that Tyler Lockett will be available on Sunday. Do you buy it?
Yes, because Tyler Lockett was back in practice a day earlier than expected. So we talked about the fact that he had to stay in the Bay Area hospital after having the shin contusion to monitor him for compartment syndrome. Luckily, everything turned out well. He flew back to be with the team, but we wouldn't know until practice this week because obviously they had the bye in between. Very good timing for them. We wouldn't know what to think. They were expecting him to come to practice Thursday. He came Wednesday, and he was limited, but this is all lining up for him to be available to play, so we wanted to give you that little heads up.
Okay, good news on Tyler Lockett. Obviously, he plays. You feel pretty good about playing him. I will say this, though, Mike, and you are a resident Eagles fan. The Eagles' defense is no longer bad.
No.
4 weeks in a row, or over the past 4 weeks, they've been good. They lead the NFL. Do you know this? The Eagles, since week 8, so 8, 9, 10, 11, do they have their bye before then or no?
No, I think it was mixed in there.
Okay, yeah. Well, whatever. They played 3 games.
Yeah, it was mixed in there.
In that 4 week stretch, number one in the NFL in yards per game allowed. Number one in the NFL in yards per play allowed. That defense is no longer a sieve. They're good now.
Yeah, and they've been good against the run. Since Jalen Mills has come back, he's been really good for about a month here, and they're actually allowing the 7th fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. Still, the fewest to the slot, that's been going on all season. The Ronald Darby side of the field is where they've kind of been weak. So that's DK Metcalf's side. Maybe he takes advantage here, but you're right. Could be a little bit of a trap here for Tyler Lockett.
You know whose defense was really good until they dealt with Russell Wilson? Yeah, the Niners. So,
it's still good.
Good luck with that. I still think Russell Wilson is a magician.
More news on the wide receiver front is Juju Smith-Schuster. Starfania, what do you know about the Steelers wideout?
Well, credit Jeremy Fowler, our colleague who covers all things NFL for us, and that already saying that he's not expected to play. And again, this is why we want to talk about this now, so you can make alternate plans. Juju Smith-Schuster, in addition to the concussion that we saw him suffer the last time he played, also with a knee injury that's not considered serious, but certainly the combination of the two, enough to keep him out for this week. Don't forget Deontay Johnson also suffered a concussion. Now, he was at practice on Wednesday, so that's a good sign, but does not necessarily mean he'll be cleared. They could be very thin at wide receiver, not to mention their running back. We'll talk about all of them tomorrow.
I was going to say, the Stars sort of have a line there. If you've noticed, the Steelers in recent days have added Deion Kane off of the Colts
waived him, right.
Off of their practice squad. They added a running back from the Bears practice squad. They are so thin at skill position players right now in Pittsburgh. We've gone a long way since the three killer bees in Pittsburgh. So Juju out, Mike. I think it'd be hard-pressed to start any Steelers wide receiver this week, assuming that both Juju and Deontay Johnson are actually out.
Yes, no question about it. If Johnson goes, and he was back at practice, he hasn't cleared the protocol yet, but he was there. We'll see if he goes. Then you can consider him maybe in 12-team leagues for a flex, maybe
James
a borderline
Washington,
top
perhaps.
40 play. Exactly. If Johnson and Juju are out, I would consider Washington again a fringe starter. Yeah, no doubt. But, I mean, you just can't really trust his pass offense right now.
Yeah, you
saw that last week, so it makes me nervous.
Yeah, say, if I don't want to make light of the incident last weekend, but the incident last Thursday between the Browns and the Steelers covered up that Mason Rudolph played one of the poorest games I've seen from a quarterback all season long. He is not good. All right, Mike, before we get to a game preview, I'd like to hear about a way that you could potentially get tickets for this game if you are in the Houston area right now.
Indeed. Do you ever feel like ticketing websites, make getting to the event difficult on purpose?
I totally feel like that. Yep.
You do. Okay, interesting. Well, it's as if they're so big they can get away with not caring about the customer experience. With millions of live event tickets and a price match guarantee, SeatGeek proves there's a better way. Search sports, live music, comedy, and more. SeatGeek has the tickets you're looking for all in one place. Why is SeatGeek better than the rest? A quick look at the App Store shows over 50,000 five-star reviews. How's that for customer satisfaction? Pretty good. I would say. SeatGeek pulls together millions of tickets from all over the web. Then it rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10. Finally, SeatGeek displays them on an interactive seat map. SeatGeek breaks down the details. Green dots mean good deals. Red dots are overpriced. And every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets with confidence. SeatGeek will even give you $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All you need to do is use our promo code. Download the SeatGeek app today and use promo code FFF for $10 off on your first purchase. That's promo code FFF for $10 off your first purchase at SeatGeek.
Thank you, Mike. Now it's time for our
game preview.
All right, we have, as I mentioned, a big game tonight. It is the Texans hosting the Colts. The over-under here is 45.5 points. The Texans are 3.5 point favorites. We begin on the Indy side, and we gave you a preview of all the injuries yesterday. We'll hit those again, but before we do that, Jacoby Brissett cracks our top 10 for quarterbacks this week. He has one top 5 performance all season. It happened to come against the Texans. And did you know, Jacoby Brissett, in 4 games, and I know that people don't always believe that quarterback wins are a quarterback stat, but in the 4 games the Colts have had Jacoby Brissett as their starter against the Texans, they're 4-0. In the other 22 games that he has been their starter, they're 7-15. Interesting little fun fact for you right there.
Fun indeed.
Indeed.
By the way, Brissett also got the better of the Texans last year in the playoffs. He had a really good game against Houston. You know what? Was it week 7? Week 7 against, week 7 last year, this year, against the Texans. 4 touchdown passes. Do we feel confident? Like, were we really, really starting Jacoby Brissett over somebody that we would be benching, like Tom Brady or Dak Prescott against the Patriots or Carson Wentz, who has sort of been struggling of late? Are we really going that far with Jacoby Brissett today?
I think he's certainly in that conversation. Okay. I'd have no problem going with a guy like Wentz or even Brady at home against Dallas. I'd be fine with that, but I think Brissett is right in that conversation. The good news is, like you said, he did beat up on Houston in that first game. That was his best fantasy game of the season, but he only has 2 top 10 fantasy weeks. So that's right. Kind of a little bit of a concern for sure. But he does have 2+ total touchdowns in 6 of his 9 games this season, has 17 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. That is a pretty darn good ratio for any quarterback. And the matchup is good. Houston has not been able to stop quarterbacks, not only in that game against Indianapolis in week 7, but the whole season. 6 most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. They're top 5 in pass attempts, completions, passing yards, and passing touchdowns against. They only have 5 picks, and they only have 21 sacks. Just across the board, a good matchup for quarterbacks.
All right, so Jacoby Brissett certainly on the streaming radar. If those who roster, for example, Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Kirk Cousins, who's been really good of late, or if you don't like yourself and you've been using Phillip Rivers of late and he threw 4 interceptions this past Monday night. Now the injury part, because the running backs conversation is sort of two-pronged, depending on what you know about Jordan Wilkins, and who knows more than Star Fania Bell? Nobody. What do you got for us on Jordan Wilkins?
Well, I had already said yesterday that it was looking like he had a good chance to play, and they followed that up with a full participation label in practice. Keep in mind, again, these teams playing on a short week are not actually going through full practices, but the weight given to how they're designated becomes very important because we haven't actually seen them out there. So Jordan Wilkins, a full participant. Frank Reich had already said that he expected Williams and Wilkins to share the bulk of the carries with Marlon Mack out.
Okay, so that opens up sort of an interesting can of worms here. Jordan Wilkins and Jonathan Williams expected to play a significant role here tonight. We've got a flip-flopped here. I've got Jonathan Williams as the Colts running back I'd feel more comfortable with. Mike, you're on team Jordan Wilkins, a player you've liked since his college days at Ole Miss.
I do like him a lot. In fact, I kind of pulled this nugget up doing a little research on Wilkins. He is averaging 5.8 yards per carry since entering the NFL. Among 82 backs with at least 65 carries during that span, he's number 2. Believe it or not, the only guy ahead of him is your guy, Stefani. Raheem Mostert is the only guy ahead of him in yards per carry. So he has been effective. He's also caught 20 of his 21 targets as well. So everything they've asked of him, he's pretty much delivered other than taking on a workhorse role. And look, I don't think he's going to get that here because he didn't play last week and he's never been kind of in that role except for his first 2 weeks in the NFL. Hasn't had more than carries in a week since that game. So I think he'll be limited in some capacity, but 12 to 15 touches, I could see that. I think he's a better player than Jonathan Williams, who, I mean, had the big game last week, sure. So did Marlon Mack. Naheem Hines scored a touchdown. They kind of beat up on that defense. But including last week, Williams has 45 career carries and 3 catches, right? He's kind of a between-the-tackles runner. They like to run. They'll probably try to use him in that capacity. I don't think he's going to catch many passes, too. And also, One other nugget here on this dynamic in this backfield. The Texans defense has allowed the ninth most fantasy points to running back. So on the surface, seems like a good matchup, right? Most of it is receiving, though. They've allowed the third fewest carries and the ninth fewest rushing yards and only three rushing touchdowns to running backs this season. However, they're number one in targets, receptions, and receiving yards allowed to running backs, as well as four additional touchdowns. 89% of balls thrown to running backs against them have been caught. That is highest in the NFL. So maybe it's in Naheem Hines' spot. Maybe Jordan Wilkins takes advantage of some of that. I just don't think Jonathan Williams is going to see many targets, and that's why I lean a little bit towards Wilkins.
All right, I'm leaning towards Jonathan Williams here tonight, and I am going to go with the guts of what I read through Mike Wells, who covers the Colts for us here at ESPN. He wrote a nice piece about how Jonathan Williams has just continued to work hard, churn out good runs, quality runs. The Colts couldn't quite find a spot for him in the rotation, despite the fact that they really like what they saw. Head coach Frank Reich, GM Chris Ballard, like all these runs he produces in camp and scout teams. We're like, this guy's good. We got to find a spot for him. But we're too good at running back otherwise to create a steady spot for him right now. My lean is Jonathan Williams.
And he would naturally fit right into the Mac role, right? Not catching many passes. Yeah. But Mac was underwhelming in fantasy for the most part, right? Sure. He was like a back-end RB2. He wasn't catching passes, wasn't getting the touchdown. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if he comes out and gets the 15 carries, but I'm just maybe it's a little homerism here because I like Wilkins. But by the way,
we have him ranked. We have both these guys ranked. I think both players ranked outside of the top 30, anyways, right? So
yeah,
like,
true.
I don't think anybody here is pounding the table and saying like, you got to start one of them. It's more that like, if I'm going to roll the dice, I'm rolling it on Jonathan Williams. You two are rolling it on Jordan Wilkins. So we'll see tonight. We'll be interesting. And as Stefania laid out yesterday, there's a chance this is a multi-week absence for Marlon Mack. We're going to learn something about how the Colts view their running back split and rotation as things currently stand. Maybe the injury of the weekend, Stefania, just in terms of sort of uncertainty going into the game, is T.Y. Hilton. Hilton has missed, what, three games right now? Mm-hmm. And he went from a non-participant in practice on Monday and Tuesday to maybe playing tonight?
Yeah. Full participation yesterday. And like I said, these designations become more important because they're not actually practicing. They are working out T.Y. Hilton. Like I said last week, he was working out away from the team and ramping up his activity. And there was optimism that he had a real shot to play today. And a lot was dependent on what happened on Wednesday. Well, what happened on Wednesday was he did enough work to convince them to label him a full participant after being listed as a non-participant in every practice since his injury. So I think that bodes well for an appearance for T.Y. Hilton tonight. Obviously, it will come down to an official game time decision. They're not quite letting the cat out of the bag yet. But again, we talked about Jacoby Brissett having a good game against Houston when they played in week 7. T.Y., 6 catches, 74 yards, and a touchdown.
Part of
the reason that he had such a good game against the Texans, Jacoby Brissett wants T.Y. Hilton out there. T.Y. Hilton wants to be out there. They've just known with a calf injury that it's like these soft tissue injuries where there's a risk you get out on the field and you have a setback. Remember at the beginning, Frank Reich said he was told this was like a 3 to 4 week injury. T.Y. Hilton that first week wanted to try to play. This was really everybody saying, like, we've got to pull you back a little bit because if you try and do this, you could really end up costing yourself the rest of the season. So now he's had that time. He's had to prove to them that he's ready to go. Obviously, there are no guarantees till you get out there and prove you can get through a game without a setback. But I think it looks like T.Y. Hilton has a real good shot to play tonight.
Okay, by that logic, I would be playing T.Y. Hilton absent having really solid options ahead of him. Understanding that just because he starts the game doesn't mean that he finishes the game. We'll have T.Y. Hilton's, we'll have an official update around 6:55 Eastern time, maybe 6:45 yeah. Eastern time tonight. Keep an eye out for inactives if we don't have clarity prior to that time. If he doesn't play, how confident would you be, Mike, in a Zach Pascal dart throw tonight?
Not great. Okay. And that's after he had maybe his best career game against this team in the first matchup. 7 targets, 6 catches, 106 yards, and 2 touchdowns in that week 7 meeting. But look, no T.Y. Hilton the past 2 weeks. And what does he deliver? 2 catches for 17 yards, 2 catches for 26 yards, no touchdowns on 13 targets those past 2 games. I mean, it's hard not to rank him right around, you know, in the top 35, top 40 because he is seeing the target volume. And we know this offense can score touchdowns through the air. Not to mention, it's a pretty good matchup against a defense allowing the 7th most fantasy points to receivers and 14 touchdowns, which is 4th most. But I would try to stay away if I can because he hasn't performed in a good situation the past 2 weeks. So it's a tough spot. For
Although
sure.
maybe you go, look, he had a really good game against Houston when T.Y. was out there.
Yep.
And he has not done as well without T.Y. out there. So maybe he's due for at least a decent game if you have both receivers on the field.
Yeah, I feel solely confident in one Colts wide receiver if he plays tonight, which is T.Y. Hilton. If Pascal is out there and T.Y. Hilton is not out there.
If you're desperate, though,
tread lightly.
A lot of injuries,
yes.
Buys,
if you're desperate
blah,
with
blah.
Buys and injuries, etc.
The usual.
Two tight ends, Stefania, but one of them is banged up. Eric Ebron, who saw plenty of targets this past week, but now he's banged up.
Right, and yesterday I said that it was looking good for him to play, that they were resting him early. He, too, got a full designation on the practice report for Wednesday. I expect Ebron to play.
Mike, squeaky wheel got the grease 2 weeks in a row or what?
Yeah, I mean, they've certainly increased his usage, right? I mean, Jack Doyle did not have a target last week. In fact, it was, what's the number, 44, I think it was 48 straight games he had with a catch did Jack Doyle, and he had no targets last week.
That is bizarre indeed.
Ebron in that first meeting did score a touchdown, one of the few he scored this season, 4 catches, 70 yards. But again, he has a low floor, 5 or fewer targets in 9 of 10 games, hasn't scored a touchdown since week 7. Only 1 touchdown on 5 end zone targets, so he's not hitting that one either. And how about the matchup against these tight ends? Houston has faced the most tight end pass routes this season, but have allowed the 11th fewest receiving yards, at the 4th lowest yards per target, the 2nd lowest catch rate. So this defense has been good against tight ends. It makes me nervous about Ebron and Doyle as starters, despite Ebron's uptick in usage.
Yeah, the Texans have a lot of cornerback struggles this year, but they're pretty solid at safety. They've done a nice job of piecing things together. No Justin Reed, though, tonight for the Texans, one of their starting safeties, and of course the younger brother of Eric Reed, a starting safety for the Carolina Panthers. Before we talk about the Texans, star Fania is going to tell us about MeUndies. No, not MyUndies, as in the company MeUndies.
No, MeUndies, because I have some MeUndies. I love them.
Yeah?
Yes, I do.
Tell us about them, please.
I will.
I'm interested.
You know, Mike, it's officially the holidays. People are already shopping for gifts. You're probably out thinking about what you're going to get me right now. But before you freak out about what to get your boyfriend who you've only been dating for months.
Wait, you've been dating a boyfriend for months?
For 4 months.
Oh, for 4 months.
According to this.
Okay, gotcha, okay.
It's pretend.
Gotcha.
Or what to get your mailman. Is that a thing? Or the fact that you have to go to the mall.
What?
Listen up.
What's that?
MeUndies is anything but ordinary. They have a gift for literally everyone. Yes, including your weird aunt.
A gift
aunt.
Or a gift?
A gift. Oh. Probably a gift, too. And the best part is they deliver straight to your door with free shipping. That is a holiday miracle right there. Speaking of not wanting to leave the house, MeUndies makes the perfect hibernation undies and loungewear. I can attest to this. Whether you're looking to match undies with your boo this cuffing season or just wanting to cuddle up with your favorite furry friend in a onesie, MeUndies has you covered. Literally. Their fabric is 3 times softer than cotton and offered in sizes extra small to 4XL. 3 times softer than cotton is like being 3 times softer than those cute little marshmallows at the top of your hot cocoa.
Aww, oh, those are so cute.
I knew
cute.
That would get filled. MeUndies knows it's friggin' cold out, which is why they're coming out with even more cuddly products. This holiday season, cozy up in their new robes for men and women. Oh, look, you can get matching ones, Field, you and Chapin. Treat your feet in their new soft slippers and, of course, match the whole fam with their soft new baby bodysuit. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer, especially because they have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. To get 15% off your first pair, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/FFF. That's MeUndies.com/FFF.
Wait, did you say 15% off and free shipping and a 100% satisfaction guarantee?
I did, and thank you for listening.
Wow. That's like the trifecta.
I know.
Plus a massage.
Get yourself a onesie.
Yeah.
Yes. I highly recommend them.
Yeah, who doesn't love a onesie in the winter? It's already very cold here in Connecticut.
So good.
All right, let's talk about the Houston Texans, who, again, as we've stated, are playing at home. Deshaun Watson is a bit banged up with the ankle, but he's a full participant in practice. Stefania assured us yesterday, NBD, he will be fine. We all have him as a top 5 play this week. The hope is merely this. Do not repeat what you did last week when you were having some Jameis Winston-type moments, including that one interception where you threw across your body right into a linebacker of the Baltimore
Please
Ravens.
Please protect him up front. That's what I ask for
Just
him.
Keep him protected. But again, it's Deshaun Watson. If you have him, you are almost assuredly playing Deshaun Watson. It gets more intriguing, I think, if for the other players on this Houston offense. Carlos Hyde has been a really fascinating player so far this year for the Texans. He was acquired without much fanfare,
yeah.
right? Traded for Martinez Rankins, a backup offensive lineman who went to Kansas City.
Do you remember the whole, like, was he going to disappear before? When did he come over in the trade?
It was September 1st.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was and so it was like, well, maybe he's not even going to do anything with the team. Like,
right.
Maybe
I mean, the Chiefs were playing him late in the fourth preseason game. The guy was out there with players that had practice squad aspirations at best. Instead, he gets traded. He actually runs pretty effectively. He ranks second amongst running backs in percentage of carries gaining at least 5 yards so far this season, only behind Alvin Kamara. I think the issue here, Mike, is that, you know, first of all, the Colts are pretty stout run defense. Second of all, Carlos Hyde, not much of a passing game threat.
No question about it. And you could kind of, both of the things you just laid out, you can look at the first meeting in week 7, 12 carries, 35 yards, no touchdowns, one target, no catches. I mean, that might be roughly what you get here. But look, he has been pretty good. It's a great story. A lot of teams have given up on him, and he's been very effective this season. Had that 41-yard touchdown in kind of garbage time against Baltimore. Now has 4 touchdowns this season. He had only 9 carries in that game. That was a season low. But he has 58-plus rushing yards in 8 of 10 games this season. So that kind of tells you that he's delivered a pretty good high floor in terms of in that department. But again, he's only 29th. At running back in fantasy points because he's gone 4 consecutive games without a catch and has a total receiving line of 6 catches for 22 yards this season. And quickly on the Colts defense, 7th fewest fantasy points to running backs. They're bottom 7 in carries, rushing yards, and rushing touchdowns allowed. Only 3 allowed. They're also last in carries or bottom 7 in carries inside the 5. They have allowed a lot through the air, a lot of receiving production, so including the 4th most reception. So maybe it's a Duke Johnson Jr. here spot. Perhaps, but it's certainly not a good matchup for Hyde. And again, you know he's not going to do much as a receiver. So I'm with you. A little bit of risk here. It makes him a fringe top 25 play.
Yeah, I feel like actually both of the players in the Houston backfield are about a fringe top 25 play because of the different strengths that they offer to that offense. So DeAndre Hopkins is a player that you're starting every week. And I understand he's had some disappointing moments, actually averaging less than 10 yards per catch, but he's still second in the NFL in total catches. The touchdown production has not been where you expected it to be this season. So, but let's not belabor the point about whether you'd start him or not. There's got to be some sort of number configuration that we can draw up here. Like, what are your expectations for DeAndre Hopkins? DeAndre Hopkins, almost like a mini red zone here. More than 100 yards, yay or nay?
I would say nay.
Really?
I have the under on this one.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, his usage has changed pretty drastically this season. A lot more targets near the line of scrimmages. Average depth of target is a career low, as is his yards per reception, which is under 10 yards per catch. This season, he's catching a career high 72% of his targets, but he's like almost going the direction of Larry Fitzgerald, right? Where like everything's kind of in the short area. He's not downfield. He's never been good after the catch. So I think the yardage numbers are down for a reason, and that should probably continue. Not to mention, by the way, his target share is down about 7 or 8 percentage points when Will Fuller plays compared to when he's been out. His target share has spiked big time since Fuller went down. Before that, it was a lot lower, even lower than last season. So that's another variable that's in play tonight.
I wonder if the lack of depth of targets is the offensive line. I understand they did make some upgrades at both tackle spots, but hey, one way to offset pressure is to get the football out quickly. Maybe that contributes to it. But Stefania, I cut you off.
No, I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, and I think that does give me some cause for concern, especially since I think you're going to see Will Fuller tonight. But I think it's end zone. That's where I expect, if I was going to say, if the red zone question was DeAndre Hopkins touchdown tonight, yes or no, I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I think he's been robbed of a couple in the end zone. Some plays, some PI calls that should have gone his way.
No, I don't recall. I don't know what you're talking
Perhaps
about.
You're familiar.
Yeah, I might be.
So I think I think the stats don't necessarily reflect some of that because those things don't get, I mean, obviously target-wise they do, but I think he would have more fantasy point production if he had a couple of those scores back.
You just mentioned it, Stefania. The next player we're going to talk about here is Will Fuller. You think he will play tonight?
I think that Will Fuller will play. You know, we talked about how last week we were starting to get back involved in practice, but they weren't going to play him, knowing that they had a game 4 days later. This would probably be his debut. It's nice. Starts off a series of home games. Good when you get an injured player who's been out a while to be at home. You know, you're not dealing with travel issues. Barring some surprise setback between now and kickoff, I expect Will Fuller to rejoin the team tonight.
Mike, what's the value here? Is this a no risk it proposition? Or is this, what do you think?
I'm starting him.
You're starting him
if he's there. Yeah, I mean, if you look back at the first meeting, so What the Colts did, and the Colts almost never shadow. Their perimeter corner play hasn't been great this season, but Pierre Desir shadowed DeAndre Hopkins. He had a good game. He scored a touchdown, went over 100 yards in that first meeting. But Will Fuller was being shadowed by Rock Ya-Sin. Is that how you pronounce that?
Rock Ya-Sin, yeah.
Rock Ya-Sin. In the first couple plays, he got hurt immediately. Kenny Stills stepped in for him. Ya-Sin shadowed him. Stills finished with 5 targets, 4 catches, 105 yards. So he was able to hit a few big plays. So the matchup should be good because the Colts, again, have struggled in the perimeter. They're good in the slot, not so good in the perimeter. And Fuller's last 2 full games, his target totals, 10 and 16. Pretty good. I mean, his usage has really increased. There he is, he had that huge game in week 5. We know what he can bring to the table. If I have him, I'm going to fire him up.
So you guys know how Matthew does that thing all the time where it's like, of course someone is playing against me, so he's going to go crazy this week.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, I should really steal that bit because as Stefania can attest to, because she has Will Fuller on her War Room League
yes,
team.
It's been
and that week where he had 53.7 points, I was playing against him. My team,
yikes,
which has allowed the most points in the league by far this year. And I told this, I am not playing against Will Fuller, which actually means bad things for him. But are you starting him, Stefania, or not?
I have no choice. My team has been decimated, and I picked David Johnson's one of my starting running backs. Mm. So that just tells you where my season went in a hurry.
Nothing you can do about that.
I know. Nothing you can do. So I'm happy to have Will Fuller back. I mean, let's go.
So I'm playing Matthew this week in the War Room League. So just again, I'm playing Matthew, and as of right now, at least, he is starting both Jordan Wilkins and the Colts defense.
Mm.
So if you have either of those players, maybe I should rethink my Jonathan Williams versus Jordan Wilkins hedge. I'm going to try to invoke my inner Matthew as much as possible during this upcoming weekend. So the Colts travel to Houston. Texans, lot to play for, as do the Colts. Let's pick this game. I'm going with the Deshaun Watson-led Houston Texans. I got them winning this game. I don't have a score because I'm not Mike Clay. What do you have, Mike?
Yeah, I'm close to the line here, although I have more points than the line, which is 45.5. I'm at Texans 27, Colts 24, so a tight win.
I love it. I think it's going to be a close game. I'm really looking forward to this game. I know it's Thursday night and everybody complains about this, but I think for me, I like these ones where the guys come back who've been hurt. I like to watch how they do. T.Y. Hilton back on one side, Will Fuller back on the other side. I think it's going to be fun to watch.
Daniel, what say? You want to pick or no?
Oh, you bet I want to pick. I am taking...
The Lions?
The Lions, yeah. Damn. They make the same joke.
Also...
Oh, it's so good.
That's a six... Yeah, that's a six-letter swear jar, Mike. I need you to put money in the swear jar.
What
okay,
did you...
I don't have money.
He just dropped the word that a beaver sleeps in.
Oh, okay.
Is that an illegal word?
Yes, that is a swear.
Mike.
Well, why didn't you beep it out then?
Don't have
come on,
money.
Producer.
Mike, who goes on Daily Wager 4 times a week.
I know,
right? A different suit every day, who... drinks a Propel. You know Propel waters are expensive. He drinks at least one a day.
Yeah.
One a show.
One a show. Yeah.
One a show. He drinks like 8 a day.
He's hooked up to an IV of Propel.
You know how much that must cost him?
I can't even imagine, but as an accountant, I'll bet you Mike's brain knows exactly how much it costs.
I'll
down
my
to the cent.
Documents.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Houston Texans because there's no way Deshaun Watson is going to lose 2 games in a row, especially coming off of that bad, bad loss to the Ravens.
Ooh, man, I'm really tempted to go with the Colts now, but I will stick with the Texans, which I think gives us a clean sweep here. And time now for our wide receiver cornerback matchups. Of course, Mike Clay does that, but before we get to Mike Clay's incredible work, and I mean incredible, which involves all kinds of great insight, we're taking a quick break.
He's a NASCAR guy with a bass trying a Langford fan for love.
I accidentally played the whole song rather than just the short drop.
You know what, though?
Oh, my gosh. Turn your microphone on. Have you ever been in a studio
Let
before?
It roll.
You got to turn your microphone
on.
Hear
the whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh, stop. Don't roll my eyes. You know it's a dance?
Yes. There's only one.
I have to look this up.
It's Jennifer Beals. Am I right? Not Cool Keith? Am I right? Yes.
That's before my time. Sorry.
So, what? Oh.
Just run in place really, really fast.
You are dead to me, Mike Clay, that you just said
with
that.
Water pouring on you.
I know. That's right. Thank you. Not Cool Keith gets it. Daniel gets it. I'm not sure if Field seen it. It was an R. Was that R rated? Was it R rated or PG-13? They didn't have PG-13 then.
Back then, wow, they didn't have PG-13.
I don't think they did.
No, I'm pretty sure you're right.
Back then, we walked both ways uphill to school
and the theater.
Yeah, that's right.
For everything,
the movies cost a quarter.
It wasn't a
quarter.
It wasn't a movie. It was actually live acted out at your little local stagecoach when everyone, the town gathered around as the train came in and you guys did the right. thing. That's what you're doing? Yeah.
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 Oh, and it cranked.
Stop.
All right, kids.
All right, Mike.
Let's
Mike
get back
Clay,
to the
podcast. Receiver cornerback matchups. We begin in Tampa Bay, or excuse me, against Tampa Bay because Calvin Ridley and not Julio Jones, but Russell Gage benefit this weekend for the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, all three of these guys. We love them all against Carlton Davis, who has struggled as the number one corner for the Bucs. Sean Murphy Bunting is a rookie who struggled on the other side. And they're having so much trouble at in the slot that the, now, you know, they have Vernon Hargraves. They traded him away. They tried some other guys in there. Hasn't worked out. They used a guy that's been playing mostly safety, Mike Edwards, another rookie who is now in the slot this season. They have struggled all across the board. Most fantasy points allowed to receivers this season, over the past 8 weeks, over the past month as well. They've allowed the most fantasy points to the perimeter over the past 8 weeks and the past month. You're going to see Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley on the outside against Davis and Murphy Bunting. You're going to see Gage inside against Mike Edwards in this one. The Bucs, by the way, also most fantasy points out of the slot, which is where Gage is. So he's a sleeper, and Ridley and Jones should be in lineups.
Had a little bit of a conversation surrounding Ridley yesterday. Russell Gage, what an intriguing sleeper name. He has played well for the Falcons since the trade of Mohamed Sanu, and he almost scored last week. He
almost scored.
Really interesting player to monitor for the rest of the season because the Falcons have found some mojo. All right. Allen Robinson, over the past couple of weeks, is really struggling. As a matter of fact, over the past 4 weeks, he's wide receiver 61 on a per-game basis, Mike. This guy's way too talented to be that low in the rankings, but perhaps nothing can cure his ails, quite like the Giants' secondary.
Yeah, and at least one of those was expected. That was last week. We featured him in this segment and said that he was going to face Jalen Ramsey. This was going to be his toughest matchup of the season, would probably be one of his worst games of the season, so that was not a surprise. Should be the opposite this week against the Giants. DeAndre Baker, the rookie, Corey Ballantyne in the slot, and Janoris Jenkins on the other side. The Giants have allowed the second most fantasy points to wide receivers this season. He's going to see a pretty equal share of all three of these guys. So actually see Jenkins the least in this one. And Jenkins started poorly when they had him shadowing the first month. He's been a little better since that, just playing his side. But again, away from him, Baker and Ballantyne have really struggled. If you look at Baker's side of the field, the Giants have allowed the most fantasy points to that side over the past month. And as for the slot, they've allowed the seventh most fantasy points over the past month. Again, Robinson's all over the field. It's just we're upgrading him across the board. It should be a get-right game.
No matter who plays quarterback, you have to like Allen Robinson's chances on Sunday. Let's go over to the minus matchup. And, you know, we've got some players in the same game that are facing very difficult cornerbacks. And we start with Courtland Sutton, who I believe has emerged as a real star for the Broncos this season, Mike. I know their passing offense is not particularly prolific given the quarterback play, but might this be a week to actually fade Courtland Sutton? Are you going that far? Are we just telling you to be careful with what you expect out of him this weekend?
Yeah, I think we're going to downgrade him, but I have him on quite a few rosters, so I'll probably keep him in my lineup. I think he's been too good to put on my bench completely, but it could be just like Robinson last week. It could be a bust kind of game here against Tre'Davious White, who, by the way, I've taken some heat from Bills fans. He did not crack my top 25 players under 25. He was an honorable mention. I still love the guy. I've talked a lot about him the past few years. He can't fit everybody in there, but he's still a very talented corner, and he started shadowing over the past month. He did not shadow during weeks 1 to 8, but Terry McLaurin, Odell Beckham Jr., Devontae Parker, he has shadowed all three of those guys over the past 3 weeks. We know Parker had a pretty good game against him. It happens to even the best corners, but Terry McLaurin, he held to 4 for 39, and Beckham, he held to 5 for 57 on 12 targets a few weeks ago. So he's been effective this season. Sutton is on the perimeter 82% of the time, so it's not like he's going to be in the slot much and get away from White's coverage, who doesn't play in the slot. He's going to see him a lot in this game. And the Bills defense, even if he wasn't being shadowed, it's tough. I mean, think about this Bills defense. They've only allowed 4 touchdown catches to wide receivers this season in 10 games. They've also allowed 43 passing touchdowns in 42 games under Sean McDermott. That's incredible. That's easily fewest in the NFL. McDermott's scheme just is outstanding and shuts down passing games.
He is quite the eliminator to opposing passing games. How about John Brown? Same game, other side of the ball, Mike. And by the way, a note from Kyle. The over-under is 37 points on this game, so certainly not expecting a ton of offense. John Brown has been really consistent this year, at least 50 yards receiving in every single game. Do you think he draws Chris Harris shadow treatment? And if so, is that enough to maybe break the streak of 50-plus yards in a game?
I think he has a shot to get to 50. I'm assuming I have him projected a little over that, but it is a very tough matchup. So I would definitely consider the fact that a step back is probably coming not only for John Brown down the stretch here, but for the Bills and for the Bills passing game. They had one of the easiest, maybe the easiest schedule in the NFL through 11 weeks. They have one of the hardest the rest of the way, and that especially applies in fantasy and to their passing game. So will he draw Chris Harris? We'll just look at who he has shadowed so far this season. Allen Robinson, Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, Tyreek Hill, T.Y. Hilton, Odell Beckham, and most recently, Stephon Diggs. So that's a yes. I mean, he's clearly their number one perimeter wide receiver. I'll be shocked if Harris isn't chasing him around. And Harris has not been targeted much this season, only on 13% of his covered snaps. The ball has gone his direction. That is a very low number. The Broncos also allowing the fourth fewest fantasy points to wide receivers this season. By the way, if you're thinking, well, if he were downgrading him, maybe Cole Beasley gets a few more targets, I would stay away there too. Third fewest fantasy points allowed to the slot for Denver this season. Maybe Isaiah McKenzie is a deep sleeper. Maybe if you're playing like in one of them DFS Thursday only tournaments, maybe that's the guy to throw a dart at. Maybe he catches a sees a few targets. He's actually been out targeting Cole Beasley. So,
well, great matchup anyway. On Sunday. All the same, two defensive-minded teams that should limit opposing offenses in a way that might yield less than 37 points. The game is being played in Buffalo, where they're expecting a snow shower in the morning, but the game should be clear by the time they kick off at 1 p.m. Eastern time. Mike, a little piece of advice for you. Stop reading the comments on the articles. It's not worth it. It's not worth your time, Mike, to read those comments.
Oh, it's not the comments on the articles.
Okay. What is it?
It's social media.
Okay. Well, stop reading the Twitter notifications as well, Mike. Aim higher. Mike Lay NFL, a good follow on the Twitter. We're going to get the social questions in a second. But first, did you guys know that hiring could be a challenge? As Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner discovered, Gretchen needed to hire a game artist for her education tech company. She knew it wouldn't be easy to find someone to grow with her team. That's why she went to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Gretchen posted her job on ZipRecruiter and said she was impressed with how quickly she found qualified applicants. She also used ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter her candidates so she could focus on the best ones. And that's how Gretchen found a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for how much? For free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. One more time for all the people in the back, including our guy Jackson, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Let's rock.
Hey, guys. We have a question from John here. It says, I've got a call to make at my PPR flex, Devontae Parker versus Ronald Jones. Who you got?
Well, for those that are unfamiliar, I believe I am now the Ronald Jones soothsayer. Didn't we have a Ronald Jones question last week?
I was going to say, I feel like we have talked about Ronald Jones a little. He's been in the questions lately.
You beat me on a board bet a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Michael Gallup versus...
Yeah, you won that one.
Maybe you won by like a, I don't know, whatever. Basically, I'm the soothsayer. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break the tie in a different way. Rather than asking Mike for his advice, I'm going to go right to IBM Watson, who tells me that Ronald Jones has boomed 5 times this season to Parker's 3 such games, and his odds, that meaning Jones, of booming this weekend are 10 percentage points higher than Devontae Parker. Give me that. Ronald Jones over Devontae Parker.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jones as well because they're playing Atlanta, 4th most fantasy points to running backs. I think it's a good matchup. I think he gets back on track after a rough week 11.
By the way, I do like Devontae Parker, though. Devontae Parker has been incredible since week 6.
Been resurrected.
Yeah, we thought for sure, like 99.9% chance he was gone from Miami.
Yeah.
They change coaches, they re-sign him, and he's having his best season.
Got a 2-year contract.
It only
Miami.
Took, what, 4 years?
It took
five years.
The rare, elusive late breakout.
Well, you know, those wide receivers take a while to break out.
Kudos to him. Sam.
Well, I'm glad you like Devontae Parker, because I have another question about Devontae Parker here for you from Scott. Scott says, I've clinched a playoff berth, and Devontae Parker is still available on the wire. It's like, lucky him. I've lost faith in David Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster. Which one should I drop to pick up Parker?
I think I would drop Juju Smith-Schuster, and here's the reason why. David Johnson's in the doghouse right now, serious doghouse, right? But both players are probably not going to be available this weekend. Johnson's on a bye, and Juju, as we talked about earlier on in the show, not likely to play against the Bengals. one injury away from David Johnson having to be the focal point of that Cardinals running game again. I'm not sure, no matter what happens, if Juju, who has already been the focal point of the passing game, can elevate his value that much. So I will be dropping Juju.
Yeah, that was my same rationale, is that they Cardinals could find themselves in a position of having to use David Johnson even if they're determined not to do it now. If you're talking about fantasy playoffs potential, that's still a few weeks away. So
yeah, I might consider. I agree with that. I think that it may depend on my roster too. So if I think I'm bad at receiver, I'm going to have to start Juju when he's back. That might change my mind. But I'll say this: I have a column that comes out, we do on Saturday mornings, where I ask an NFL Nation reporters one question about fantasy. And just a little preview of that piece, I asked Josh Weinfuss, who covers the Cardinals for us, if Kenyon Drake, after the bye, will remain the clear lead back ahead of David Johnson. And the first four words of his answer were, yes, without a doubt. I mean, that's telling for Johnson's value going forward.
What happened
to David without Johnson? A doubt until something happens to Kenyon Drake.
There, he said no doubt.
I know. I'm saying.
No pressure, Josh. No pressure.
No. I'm not. That's not against him. That's just saying that Cliff Kingsbury can be all about Kenyon Drake. But if something happens to him.
Oh, no question.
It's not like they're going to overlook the fact they got David Johnson there, too.
A train wants to know, is David Njoku worth a roster spot?
For those unfamiliar, David Njoku has to be, he returned to practice
from IR.
Yep. But he now must miss two more weeks before he can actually play. So that means the earliest.
Is that true? I thought he was.
Is he eligible this Sunday?
I thought he was eligible this Sunday.
Oh, because what happened with the Browns was you have to miss a minimum of 8 games, right? So I guess technically he has missed 8 games. He was put on IR.
Yeah, I think they're talking about him playing this week.
They haven't activated him yet.
He's activated.
Yeah,
he has to be. Let's put it this way. Sorry, let's clear this up.
Yeah.
Reset. The NFL has a rule where you can be designated a short-term IR player. You must miss a minimum of 6 weeks of practice and a minimum of 8 games before you can play. Njoku was placed on IR more than 6 weeks ago.
After week 2,
More than 8 weeks ago. So yes, he is now eligible to play. That's my apologies for the confusion there. He has been designated to return. Now the team must activate him to the roster by Saturday, which would require them cutting somebody else or putting somebody on IR. They may have already had the spot because they put Morgan Burnett on IR yesterday, so that could be the easy way for Njoku to get back on the field. Worth a roster spot? Yeah, the red zone usage was pretty effective early on in the season.
Yeah, scored a touchdown in week 1, went down early in week 2. We expected a big season, perhaps a breakout third season, and it's going to be a tough start this week. But I'll tell you what, if you don't have one of them top 8 tight ends, maybe Gerald Everett counts too as a 9th, but after that, I mean, it is a total toss-up, and perhaps Njoku could jump into that conversation. Would you be surprised at all if he's a top 6 or 7 tight end going forward? I wouldn't. The schedule's much easier for Cleveland. I definitely, in leagues where I'm needy at tight end, I scooped him up, and, I think he should be on rosters. I think he could be a tight end 1 going forward.
I sure hope so, just for the record.
Not biased at all.
Hashtag analysis.
Not even a little bit. Last question here comes from Altimus and says, should I start reliving my childhood with X-Men or Boy Meets World first on Disney Plus?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Good answer there, Mike. I'm going to go with Boy Meets World. I was a sucker for so many parts of that show.
Yes,
obviously, everybody grew up. Everybody loved Topanga growing up, right?
Tons of episodes. Well,
Mr. Feeny.
No, not everybody grew up with Topanga. But I will say, true story, Adam Amin, who calls every sport on our network, on our air, when we were in Chicago, having a little dinner one night, and in walks the whole cast of Boy Meets World. And I didn't have a clue.
No
but
way.
Adam was like, oh my God, that's Topanga. That's a, and so then he became like, I know. So it wasn't my era.
Stefania had a crush on Mr. Feeny growing up in school.
She used to love Mr. Feeny. That's why she's always, I was asking Matthew if he can get her number.
That's what it is.
We're high school teammates. Matthew was his backup.
Anyway, they were lovely. They were all lovely. We ended up going over because Adam was like, I don't want to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy. Like, he wanted to go over, and they were all like, they took a picture, and they were lovely.
That's awesome.
So they're just, sometimes it's nice to know that those people are nice to know.
No question. But the off season's coming, so you could watch both of these things. I guess I would probably start with Boy Meets World, but my off season plan is actually to
MCU, watch right?
To watch all of the Marvel movies. I've seen them here or there. I've never sat down and watched them straight through. I missed a lot of them. I understand one of our colleagues is in one of those movies toward the end.
Did Scott Van Pelt appear in one?
Oh, that's what I think it is. Yeah, I think it's him. So,
was it Rhys Davis?
It must have been Rhys Davis.
Yeah, Rhys, great hair.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my plan for the offseason.
Okay, got it. If anybody wants, speaking of Matthew and his high school highlights, if anybody wants, I posted a video yesterday on @FieldYates on Twitter. I'd love you to take a look at it and perhaps engage me. Let me know what you think of it. It's Matthew's high school highlights. It was pretty awesome. I'm not going to lie to you. We're back on Friday with a preview podcast of all things pertaining to Week 12, plus the takeaways from tonight's game in which Jonathan Williams will outscore Jordan Wilkins. There might be a call of fame or call of shame opportunity involved as well. In the meantime, by the way, Thursday shows, this is our last Thursday game preview because after we come back from Thanksgiving, we go to a reformatted schedule for the home stretch of the season, just a fat last 3 weeks really. So we'll do a Monday, Tuesday, Friday schedule.
Work here then?
You still work here. We'll have plenty of DFS content featuring Mike and Daniel all the way through the Super Bowl. So we're not going away that much. Just a slightly reduced schedule as we go into December. We look forward to a great home stretch, though, hopefully carrying many of you to championship glory. For Mike and Starfania and Daniel and Jackson and Kyle and Keith and the whole crew, I'm Phil. We'll talk to you guys on Friday. Peace out.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guide. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna yay, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh. He's our favorite host, and everybody knows.